We are beginning a new study tonight. Please take God's Word and open it up to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2 and also some other verses in the book of Ruth as well. Of course, I think we all know the book of Ruth is a love story. But on top of that, it is a true love story. It's not a romance novel. It is a true love story, and I think every one of us sitting here tonight would say that we all love love, wouldn't you? We love love, don't we? And we love love stories. There was a group of Christian girls early in the morning in their dorm room. And Lop, it was similar to the way we do our men's prayer breakfast. They were in a circle and they were taking turns praying. They got down to the last three girls. And one girl said, "Lord, give us pure hearts." And she said, "Amen." And the next girl said, "Lord, give us clean hearts." And she said, "Amen." And the last girl said, "Lord, please give us sweet hearts." And they all said, "Amen." Give us sweet hearts. This is a love story, but it is a unique love story because this book of Ruth is devoted to one woman, and her name is Ruth. Now, Ruth was a pagan, and that old cliche, that old saying that we sometimes hear is one of those that where we hear, well, she came from the other side of the tracks. She came from a country called Moab. And you can look at this book as a Cinderella story. You've got kind of like a slave girl meeting a prince, and they meet, they get married, and they live happily ever after. But what I want you to understand, this book was written in some very, very dark days. Judges ruled the land then. And it was written when judges were ruling. And I want you to look, I don't know if your Bible is laid out the way that mine is, but the end of Judges is right above before Ruth starts. But what I want you to read is the last verse in the book of Judges, verse 25. That last verse says, "And in those days Israel had no king, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes." So that tells you right there, there was apostasy. Evil was running rampant. Anything went, long as you thought it was right in your eyes, then it was okay. And then all of a sudden, right after Judges, God puts this book, this love story, right in the middle here. Right after Judges, right after everybody's doing things right in their own eyes, here comes a love story. And you have to ask yourself, I don't know the answer to that, but I think one thought that you can think is that, hey, God is still in control. Would that be why he puts it here? That he is still on the throne. And no matter how dark that your days are, that this book of Ruth, I want it to be tonight, a bright hope. It's a bright hope for anyone, any of us, that are going through some dark days. Now, what I want us to look at in chapter 1 tonight, I want us to look at some choices. And there's two major choices. There's a guy named Elimelech, and he makes a very, very bad choice. Okay? And then the woman named Ruth, and she makes a very, very wise choice. And every one of us sitting here tonight, the reason we are where we are, it is a sum total of the choices that we all have made. And that's what life is. Life is just a sum total of the choices that we made. Title of tonight's lesson, it is decision that determines destiny. Decision determines destiny. Destiny. Read with me verses 1 and 2 in the book of Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while, you might underscore that right there, for a while, in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. So now what happened? Here is a famine in the land of Bethlehem. And instead of trusting God, this man named Elimelech, he decides to move his family to a pagan country. Moab and Bethlehem get along? No. The Moabites were the enemies of the children of Israel. They had them subjected under their thumb for about 18 years. God had told them, stay away. Stay away. Don't want you having no relationship with them. And what does Elimelech do? I'll probably get tongue-tied before I end this lesson with that name. I'm just warning you. But what does he do? He moves his whole family over into a pagan country. The Moabites, they were evil. They were cruel. And here goes Elimelech with his family. We're going over there. And what I want you to see, there's three things. There's three things about choices that we all get to make. And number one is the principle of a willing choice. And all I'm saying is God gives us a free will of choice. Gives each and every person in the world a free will of choice. We're not robots. We're human beings. We can choose. We can choose to accept Him, or we can choose to reject Him. Sharon and I were in Walmart grocery shopping about a week ago. I looked at the soft drinks. You ever just stop and look at the soft drinks? Dr. Pepper, Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Sprite, 7-Up. And then you get into the flavors, orange, grape, root beer. I mean, it was mind-boggling. But we like choices, don't we? And then when you finally pick a flavor, the brand of soft drink that you like, then you can carry it even further. You can get it caffeine-free. You know, your diet, Coke. You can get it with natural sweeteners, artificial sweeteners, and it just keeps going. But we love choices, don't we? I dug up a little info last night. Do you know right now there's over 1,250 different models of an automobile that's made? Over 1,250 different models of an automobile. And then when you finally decide which one fits your lifestyle and what you're dealing with a family, maybe you might want a Suburban. I don't know. You might want a van. But once you pick what you want, then you can get to pick the color. And then once you pick the color, then you can pick the accessories that you want on that. But what I'm saying, we love choices, don't we? We love choices. Now, there's some choices that are big. There's some choices that don't mean mount to a hill of beans, like what we wore in here tonight. But I am saying that they are some very, very, very important choices that we make. Now, You're free to choose. We all are. But let me tell you this. You are not free not to choose. You're free to choose, but you're not free not to choose. You say, well, I'm not going to choose. Well, you just chose. You just chose. You chose not to choose, but you made a choice. And a lot of people will argue about this. They'll say, well, I'm not rejecting Christ. It's just I'm not ready to receive Him. Well, you just chose. You chose to reject Him. What did Jesus say Himself? He who is not with me is against me. There's no sitting on a fence. There's no neutral. If you don't choose Him, you have rejected Him. And when you don't choose Christ, you know who you choose? You choose Satan. One or the other, good or evil. There's no neutral ground. You're free to choose, but you are not free not to choose. And number two, you're not free to choose the consequence that comes with your choice. You're free to choose, but you're not free not to choose, and you're not free to choose the consequence that comes from your choice. I can go up in a 10-story building, and I can choose to jump out. But when I jump out, my choice chooses for me. I can't choose the consequence of my choice that I make. And I get a little heated under the collar when I hear a man and woman, or even just a woman, and they say, I've chosen not to have this baby. And there's no bigger lie in the world, folks. There's no bigger lie. The only choice that they have made is whether that baby is dead or alive. But they are going to have a baby. But they sugarcoat it and they word it. No, we chose not to have this child. No, you did not. You either chose to have it alive or you chose to have it dead. And a lot of people do not understand this. You're free to choose, but you are not free not to choose. And you're not free to choose the circumstances that come from that choice. And number three, one big choice can take care of a lot of little choices. You ever get ready to go out to eat and you don't know really where you're going? And you come to an intersection, which way? Well, let's go down left, and we'll see what's down that way. Well, they don't like nothing down there. Let's go back this way. And all I'm saying is, folks, if you knew where you were going when you left the house, that one choice, that one big choice, took care of all, hey, let's go down this way. Let's go down this way. That one big choice takes care of a lot of little choices. But here was a man who made a choice, and he chose something that he shouldn't have chosen to do. And that was take and move his family into a pagan country. That's the principle. That's the principle of a willing choice. But now I want you to look at the problem of a wicked choice. What happens here? Elimelech gets out of the will of God, and he goes to Moab, and supposedly just for a brief time. I'm sure he didn't plan on staying there, just until the famine's over in Bethlehem. Then, hey, well, the plans are we're going to go back. But Moab, that evil stuff, it just grabbed him. It grabbed him and he liked it. He liked it. And the Bible says in verse 2, and they went to Moab and lived there. Lived there. First and foremost, Elimelech had the wrong motive. His motive was physical and not spiritual. His motive was physical and not spiritual. he was not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's a famine in the land of Bethlehem, and what does Elimelech do? He hightails it over to Moab. So come on, family, we're loading up. And folks, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people like that today. Most all of our society is motivated. It's motivated by material things and physical things instead of spiritual things. Matthew 6 and 33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these what? Things. All these things will be added unto you." But what do you got to do first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. Our society today, we worship things and use God instead of using things and worshiping God. And I'm going to stand right here and tell you right now, God will not be a part-time God. He will not be a part-time God. And all I'm saying, folks, watch out. Watch out what motivates you. Because it's easy. It's easy to get trapped up in the same thing that Elimelech did. But Elimelech also, not only did he have the wrong motive, but he had the wrong method. He was operating by sight, not by faith. He was looking at what was going around him. God had placed him there in Bethlehem. And he's looking at the appearances. It don't look good. Come on, family, we're going to load up and we're going to go to this pagan country. This country that God told us to stay out of. He's walking by sight, not by faith. And I'm sure, doesn't he say, well, hey, man's got to eat. Man's got to live. No, a man has to die. Man's got to die. And then after death, you're going to face judgment. That's what man's got to do. Man's got to die. And I'm sure things didn't look good. I'm sure they didn't look good for Elimelech. But folks, you know what faith is? Faith is believing in God in spite of the appearances. Faith is believing in God in spite of the appearances and obeying God in spite of the circumstances. That's what faith is. And that's what Elimelech decided not to do. He had the wrong motive and he had the wrong method. And what happened? He ends up serving the wrong master. He said, God, I can't trust you. I'm going over to the enemy's camp. Just can't trust you. And so many folks, so many people today, they do that. They say, God, I can't trust you. I'm going over there where Satan's at. And that's exactly what Elimelech did. And folks, the consequences were devastating. The consequences were devastating. Let's read on 3-5. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there, look at this, 10 years. We're just going over here just to get some food, y'all. After they had lived there 10 years, but Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. So here's Naomi. She's a widow. Her husband has died in the land of Moab. And now her two sons has died as well. You can't run from God, folks. You cannot run from God. Here was a man, and he was running from death, and he actually ran to death. He thought he was running from death. Instead of staying where God had placed him, he said what a lot of people say today. God, I just can't trust you. I just can't trust you. And he found death, and he found disappointment. I don't know that we'll get this far tonight, but Naomi, she changes her name. Her Naomi means pleasantness, okay? And she changes her name to Mara. Mara means bitterness. And then she has the gall to blame God for her bitterness. And you'll see that when we look at the end of this chapter. But how many people do that today? And what all I'm saying, folks, all I'm saying, and I'm not 100% on this, but when something is happening in your life, and you look up at the sky and you say, God, why is this happening to me? Sometimes, we have to look in the mirror and we have to look at the choices that we made. Because they have consequences and we are not free to choose the consequences from the choice that we chose. That's the principle of the willing choice and the problem of a wicked choice. But now I want you to see the power of the wise choice. And Ruth makes a choice. Unlike Elimelech, Ruth makes a wise choice. And she chooses for God. And this choice transforms her life. It changes her life. But folks, you know what it also does? It touches us right here as well. This one choice that she made, it's touching us as we talk about it tonight. And then she becomes part of the ancestry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because King David is one of her descendants. All because of one wise choice. One wise choice. Her life becomes a new life. You remember what Jesus said? He said, "Behold, I make all things new." And what did Paul say in the book of Romans? If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is what? A new creature. Right? Ruth has a new life. All because of one wise choice. Let's pick up verse 6. We'll read through verse 14. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and she wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband." Naomi is saying, "Listen, I'm too old to have another husband. And if I could have children, are you going to wait until they grow up to marry them? Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It's more bitter for me than for you." Now watch this. "Because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." In verse 14, "At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her." Now folks, I have been in the ministry long enough to see someone really get emotional and really going to try or think about giving their life to Christ, and I think Chris will agree, at celebration, sometimes Winterfest, you get caught up in the moment. You get caught up in the moment. And then they never do finally take that step. But then there's some that latches on to Jesus and never, ever lets go. And this is what this is. This is Oprah and Ruth right here. And Ruth, she latches on. He latches on and she said, I am not letting go. But verse 15, and this is almost a disgrace. I want you to look at what Naomi says to Ruth. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. And this is Naomi telling Ruth to go back to her gods, her pagan gods. And guess what? She doesn't do it, but Oprah did. And that's the last we've heard of Oprah. Ruth continues on. But folks, Ruth made a wise decision, and she made a decision for God. Remember what I just said, that when you choose God, He makes everything new? He makes everything new? I want you to look at what happened to Ruth's life, real quick, as we close. Verse 16. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. What's she got? She's got a new determination. She said, don't try to talk me into leaving you. It's not happening. And then that new determination comes to a new direction. And she says, where you go, I will go. Where you go, I will go. Isn't that what we say to Jesus as a Christian? Where you go, I will follow. That's a Christian's stamp. We will follow you, Jesus. What did Jesus tell the disciples? Come, follow me. Told Matthew, the tax collector, follow me. He dropped what he was doing. The fishermen dropped what they were doing, and they followed him. That's a stamp. That's a stamp we put on ourselves as Christians. Not only a new determination and a new direction, but there's a new independence. Look, as we read on, where you stay, I will stay. Naomi, I'm coming to live with you. Jesus, I'm coming to live with you. And then there's a new desire. Your people will be my people. Ruth is saying, I don't want to be with the pagans anymore. I don't want to forsake the assembly. I want to be around Christians. I want to be in this house. I want to be surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ. Your people will be my people. That's the new desire. Now there's a new devotion. Your God will be my God. No more pagan gods. Your God, the God of Israel, God Almighty, will be my God. I'm giving them up, Naomi. I'm giving up my idols. Your God, the God of Israel, will be my God. And then there's a new dedication. Verse 17, where you die, I will die. Where you die, I will die. Naomi, I'm going with you all the way. I'm not going to get over here in Bethlehem, and if things start going rough, I'm not going back to Moab. Where you die, I die. I'm all in. Jesus, I'm all in. And then the last thing, there's a new destiny. Where you're buried, I will be buried. Where you are buried, I will be buried. Naomi, not even death is going to separate us. Where you're buried, I'm going to be buried. What did Paul say? What did Paul say? There's in Romans 8, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Not even death. Folks, this is one of the sweetest declarations of faith that is in the Bible. Because she makes a wise choice. One wise choice, and it leads to a new life. And her determination and her decision led her to her destiny. So I'm asking you tonight, as we extend the invitation, you got a decision to make. I can't make it for you. If I could, I would. But I can't. Ruth had a dark background. Whether your background is dark or darker than hers, it can end right here tonight just by one wise choice. And I choose to follow Jesus Christ. Choose to follow Ruth's example as she's left it for us tonight. The choice is yours. Again, I can't make it, but I'm asking you to choose Jesus. Will you do that tonight? As together we stand and as we sing.